Dr. Dan Colvin, who is the president of the school board in Macomb. And we're going to talk a little bit about the I'm sure you probably have mixed feelings about this because, in one sense, it's kind of an exciting process, but you hate to see Dr. Rushell probably retire, as she's going to do in about a year or so. But one thing, by having that notice, is that your luxury allow you to sit back and not feel that the board has to rush anybody into that position, first of all?
That was a terrific gift that Dr. Rushell gave us. We're very grateful both for her service to the district and all that she's done for our students, for our faculty, and our staff. But we're also very aware that in giving us this time, she has enabled us to hasten slowly, as the old phrase goes, and be very careful about how we approach this matter. And so it will be a process that will be done with due diligence, but also with as much speed as we can reasonably exert, because we don't want to protract it too much. My expectation is that there's every possibility that before the first of the year, we will have chosen a candidate.
Now, how will the process be done? Will the board itself do the interview process and actually do the search, or will you hire a firm to at least do the initial search and maybe find some basic candidates?
What we have discussed and pretty much agreed upon is that we will find a firm that will work with us in locating, screening, and evaluating persons for the position. Normally what will happen is we will interview several search firms, and we have, I think it is seven that we know of right now that we're considering as possible firms, and we will probably decide upon a firm Monday night, or if not, then shortly thereafter. And what we do is we'll meet with them. They will help us in conversation clarify what our goals and our values are, what is it precisely we are looking for in a superintendent, what characteristics, what qualifications, what skills, what traits. And after we have done that, we will then post a vacancy notice and solicit responses from persons interested in the position. Those responses will go to the search firm. They will use our conversation as a means of screening the applications, and then they will give us those applications that seem to fit our criteria, either all of them, or if we determine we only want a certain number, they will give us only that number of applications. Normally, what happens is, as they give us that information, they will also give us written evaluations. Here are the strengths and weaknesses of each of those candidates. Based on their information and their evaluation, the board will then move to interview a certain number of candidates. While that is going on, or prior to it, the search firm will also have done all the background checks, both criminal record, but also all the references that the individuals have listed. And so they will be able to tell us if there are any red flags for any of the candidates. Once we start interviewing the candidates, it is at that time that probably we'll also have some means of getting input or responses from the general public. It is finally, though, up to the board to make this decision. As much of our training has told us, hiring a superintendent is the most important decision a board ever makes. And so we're aware of the seriousness of what's going on.
In terms of the search firm, obviously one could play devil's advocate and say, well, why are you spending that kind of money? You know, the budget is tight, the Springfield, what we're hearing from the state capitol, you hear many different things. None of it's particularly good news for education at this particular point. You know, you could be criticized for spending money. Are you going to try to cap it? Are you going to I mean, obviously you wouldn't want to go with the lowest bidder, and particularly just because of that. I mean, you still want a good service, but are you going to cap it, or how are you going to keep that expenditure in line, so to speak?
I think there's good wisdom in the saying, being penny wise and pound foolish. We probably don't want to think primarily of money in this matter, because we know that this is an exceedingly important position. And so in order to get the kind of quality we want in a search firm, we know that we will need to expend our funds. And we're trying to be very, very good stewards of the resources that we've been given. But it is a very complex process. And as we talked as a board last night, we became increasingly aware of how much we're going to be asking of this search firm. So we think it is money well spent. It would be bad money to try to go with a firm that did not have the expertise, who would provide us with a candidate who would turn out to be a real detriment to the district. Our students could not stand for that, and our parents could not, and our staff and faculty couldn't. So we think it is a wise expenditure. We're not going to go necessarily with the lowest bidder, but we do know that there's a wide range of expectations that we have for them, and there's also a commensurate wide range of fee structures. We would like to be able to negotiate with the firm so that we can do as much as our board is capable of doing and perhaps reduce the fees. We do have a board that has a large amount of expertise and experience with executive searches. So I have great faith in our people.
Will the board set a cap and say this is not beyond this amount, or do you really need to look at the submissions from the firms, essentially bid proposals?
We need to look at the submissions. We have not discussed a cap, and I don't believe that the board has in mind a particular cap.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to, you know, a new superintendent, and I think, as you said, it's quite a task with the uncertainty. I know Dr. Rushell said this on several occasions, that sometimes she just wished Springfield would just tell us how much money we have for the district, as opposed to this. And the uncertainty seems to be as much a problem as the lack of consistent funding anyway. But what are some of the things, considering the special situation that the state in general finds itself in, what are some of the qualities that a superintendent needs to have, either your personal opinion or maybe what the board as an aggregate feels are some of the qualities a candidate needs?
We have not defined these yet. We're in the process of doing that. So I can speak only from my own perspective. We do know that one of the major areas of expertise that we're looking for is in the realm of finance. As you mentioned, the financial situation in the state is changing all the time. And with this lack of clarity and certainty, we find it hard to make good, sound decisions. We've been fortunate. Dr. Rushell, perhaps her greatest strength is in the area of finance. And she has led us well and kept us very strong because of that. We need to continue that. We also, as you know, are just finishing our strategic plan. Dr. Chris Sutton and Mr. Robert Childs have both been heading that up, and I expect that we will have that completed in our July meeting. That will clarify the values that we hold, therefore the values that we expect to be prominent in the mind of any new superintendent. We have started some initiatives, especially in the area of curriculum, and I would expect that probably the new superintendent would be very aggressive in moving forward with curricular reform, with expansion of programs, as well as the development of new programs. We also need someone who will constantly be working both to hire good new faculty, but also to work with faculty development and make sure that our teachers are given all the training and the resources they need to do the kind of job they want to do. So that for me is where I think we're heading.
How important do you think experience is? I mean, obviously, in Dr. Rushell, you have someone who has a vast amount of experience in education. But as you say, also with the changing scene, not only with the uncertainties with state budget, but as you say, Common Core curriculum standards, also the change in technology and media, which, you know, it's hard to say, but it could very well be a sea change in all honesty. So you have a lot of things coming. How important is experience or in the equation, do you think?
For our district, which is one of the larger ones in this area, I think it becomes increasingly important, both in terms of experience in the classroom and experience at different levels of administration, because that enables the superintendent to understand existentially what these individuals are going through. That is helpful. Moreover, I think it provides a wealth of practical knowledge that is important. They, you know, an experienced superintendent can say, well, in each of the three schools where I worked as principal, I learned this, and the two other areas, schools where I, or districts where I was superintendent, I saw this happen. And so I would think that often what is going to be true is that a superintendent would work from a smaller district to a larger and then to Macomb. That's not necessarily so, but it is more common.
With the changes, too, and, of course, obviously one of the reasons Dr. Rushell said to stay on this year is she just kind of wanted to see some of these things through. So by having that extra year, too, does that allow her and the board to work with whoever? I mean, obviously, whoever you hire probably won't actually formally take a position until, you know, the following fiscal year. However, by having that time, does that allow you to have communication also so that the handoff is a little bit smoother than if Dr. Rushell just said, you know, I'm quitting June 30th, that's it, bye?
It provides the opportunity, but not the necessity. We need to keep in mind that most, if not all, of the applicants will be serving as superintendent somewhere else right now. And that's a full-time job. They need to keep their focus on what they are about. So I do know that Dr. Rushell is open to communication with whoever is chosen. But I don't expect there to be great amount of time spent there. I know she has said that she will certainly be providing the new superintendent with a very lengthy report, and which should take maybe the first 5 years of that person's reading time. But it will be helpful. I've seen some of the materials she's written before, and she will be excellent at doing that. Fortunately, the handoff occurs during the summer when things are a little slower. And so I think it will be a smooth transition, though we know that it will take a while for everyone to become acclimated to the new superintendent, the board, the administrative team, and the teachers.
Do you have a timeline from the district's interest, obviously not including the firm since you haven't got one yet, but do you have a timeline when you would say, this is when we would like to optimally start interviewing candidates for the position, and this is when we would like to perhaps actually make the hire, although the person wouldn't take the position until 2013?
Last night discussed that matter in general. It would be our hope that November 15th or around that time, we would have made our decision. The National Association of School Boards suggests that a search normally takes around 100 days. And so if we are able to interview firms in the next 2 weeks or so, and make a decision very quickly, then we would be able to post probably within 3 weeks. We'd have a month to receive applications, probably another month to review them, get the firm's recommendation, and then begin the process of interviewing them, allowing for input from the town and see what they have to say. So I think that we have every reason to hope that November would be a good time.